Okay, that was awesome. I really just want to take a few minutes and actually go through the motions. As Rivka said, like, we're going to go through a lot of motions on things we have to do. Sort of just break them down one at a time and very briefly just maybe add a point or two that can try to add, make them a little bit more meaningful for us as we go through them. Let's start with the Megillah. So just one halacha on each one as we go through. The Megillah needs to be listened to or heard by every man and woman twice, once at night and once during the day. The Gemara actually says which one is the more important, which one is the real primary reading of the Megillah. It's the one at during the day. During the day is the real mitzvah. Chazal said you should read it at night also. We make a big deal about going at night, which is good, we should. We should make a bigger deal about coming during the day. That is the primary mitzvah of the day, to read the Megillah during the day, to hear every word. There are three minyanim here early in the morning, 6:15 and 7 and 8. Each one will have a Megillah reading about a half hour in, plus an 11 o'clock reading. And there are other readings throughout the city. I'm happy to help you if you need a reading during the day, figure out where to go. But that is the actual mitzvah of the day. The first mitzvah of the day is to hear the Megillah both at night and during the day. The Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, why don't we say Hallel? Why don't we say Hallel and Purim? Every Yontif as a Hallel. We say Hallel in Shul. It's a chance to sing songs of praise to Hashem. How come we don't sing Hallel on Purim? So the Gemara gives two answers. The Gemara says one answer, really, it's not appropriate to say Hallel because at the end of the story, we're still servants to Achashverosh. We're still living in a foreign country. We're still under a foreign dominion. So we don't say Hallel when at the end of the story, we don't have full control. The Gemara gives another answer. The Gemara says, no, we do need to say Hallel. We should say Hallel. And we actually do say Hallel. Where is the Hallel on Purim? Mar says the reading of the Megillah is the Hallel for the day. Now, I think it's worth noting when we talk about adding meaning to the day. So as Rivka said so appropriately, like, I got to run. I spent 30 minutes in Shul and 40 minutes in Shul and I got to run to catch a Megillah. And then as I just, you know, following along and I'm trying to keep an eye on a child who might be running around somewhere and then I got to run, thinking about, there's like a lot of stuff going on. It's worth noting to think about for a moment the Hallel that we sing, the songs of praise, as we're listening to the Megillah, we're singing Hallel. And I just want to highlight a point. If you just think about the story, one of the main themes as we go through the day of Purim, of this hidden hand of Hashem in our lives. Megillah is the story that says it's not like Pesach, the sea is going to split in front of you. It's not the way it works. It will again one day, but it didn't from the time of the Purim story, which was after the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, all the way until today. We read the story, and it's the story of, if you will only pay attention and watch the story carry through. Esther, the Achashverosh's party is in the third year of his reign. And it's in the 12th year of his reign that Mordechai refuses to bow down, and all the problems start. 9 years go by from the time that Esther is actually put in the palace until she's called upon to do something. As Rivka just said, like, for 9 years. Like, wait, what am I doing here? It took a lot of time. And then every theme of the Megillah of the Nahapachu, everything that was put in place in one way and seemed in a negative way, it ends up flipping. Esther lives a tragic life. She doesn't have parents. You can just imagine. We like skip right through that story. Oh, she didn't have a mother. She didn't have a father. So Mordechai took her in. Tragedy. Didn't have a mother or a father. And it's that which ends up being the source of salvation for the Jewish people. The gallows, which are of course made for Mordechai, end up being used for Haman. The signet ring, which delayed out all decrees against their destruction, ended up being the same ring which put their salvation. The same day that was going to be their destruction ends up being their salvation. It's one aspect of the story after another. And there's a hidden hand of Hashem controlling events. And it's a message to us. That's one of the major themes of Purim. And something to think about as you sit there for your 30, 40 minutes once a night and during the day and you're reading the story is, I'm not just trying to get through this. Can you go a little bit faster? Why are the kids making so much noise during Hallel? If they would make a little bit less noise, we could add it a little bit faster. This is my Hallel. This is my moment, my 30, 40 minutes a year dedicated to seeing the hidden hand of Hashem in my life. And it's something to think about. During this time, where are those episodes? I'm singing Hallel as I'm listening to this story. I'm watching the story play out. I know this story. And we could read it. As we read it, it takes 12 years, this whole story. things that are put into place at one point and they come around much later. And that is our song. And it's worth, for those 30 minutes a year, something to think about. Where in my life are those moments where I could see that hidden hand, that presence, and feel it, and sing songs as we listen during the Megillah. Something to think about as we go through the Megillah. The other two mitzvahs, the two primary mitzvahs that we'll do during the day, Matanos Avyonim and Mishloach Manos, are based on a theme that the Megillah, the sages saw in the Megillah. When Haman first comes to Achashverosh and says, there's a nation that we want to get rid of, he calls them an Am Mifuzar Umifurad Bein Hamim. They're dispersed, they're separate, they're scattered, they're not together. And it was not lost on the sages that when Esther enacts her fast, she uses the language and she says to Mordechai, Lech, Kenos Es Kol HaYehudim, gather together all of the Jews. And amongst the themes of the stories, we went from being scattered and disparate and separated into being joined all together. When the sages then, at the time of the story, and then later said, how should we celebrate this day? They gave us two mitzvahs. They said, send gifts to the poor and send gifts to your friends. And each one of those two is to further that idea that the way the Jewish people survive is Kenos Es Kol HaYehudim, when you're together. And now we have to figure out how do we make those two mitzvahs into something. So a word about each of those. Matanos Avyonim, let's start with that. Gifts to the poor. So how much, in halacha, how much do you have to give? What's the actual requirement? Matanos Avyonim. So there's a mitzvah both on men and women. Both have a separate mitzvah to do so from money that's not miser money. It has to come not from money that's already designated as charity. From one's pocket, one has to give tzedakah. Two gifts to two people, meaning one person gets one gift, another person gets another gift. Two poor people both need to get enough money. How much? So the halacha says enough to buy a meal. Not so much, $10, $15 a person. Some total, $30, you're covered for the mitzvah of Matanos Avyonim. Every person should give $30 to $35. I'm happy to collect. It has to be given out on perm. There are many various institutions who come collecting. I'm sure they'll end up at your door. If they haven't found you already, they will on perm. Wherever you go on perm, they'll find you there. A wonderful opportunity to be able to give. You can give to the shul. We'll take care of it on perm as well. That's the minimum requirement. The Rambam writes, and he says exactly that's it. That's a minimum requirement. $30 on perm, you're good. But he writes, Ein simcha mifu'eres. There is no glorious simcha. There's no glorious simcha like bringing joy to those who need to have joy brought to them. There's no joy like that. There is no other. Today's the day of simcha, Purim's the day of simcha. You can't create more joy than that. And he therefore says, more than you're going to spend on your meal, more than you're going to spend on your mishloach manos, you should spend on Matanos Avyonim to be able to create that joy. Now, on that is worth noting a couple of points. Number one, so we have the opportunity literally to do what it says. That's how you bring joy to people. There are so many other ways to bring joy to people on the day of Purim, which is a day designated for that. In past years in the shul, we've done it as a group. You could do it as individuals. There are people who can be visited. This is really, for everything I'm going to say, this is a day in its craziness, and it is a crazy day. And if you'd be a fly on the wall and just watch how Jews celebrate Purim, you'd think they're literally off their mind, out of their minds. It's a crazy. You run around. You're in a costume. For those who get dressed up, and you should get dressed. A whole different schmooze. Adult, you should get dressed. You're not too old to be Esther Amalka. Not too old. You get dressed up. You run around. And we're dropping off food, we're having a meal. It's craziness. But in the craziness is a break from routine. And the routine, which doesn't allow us to do certain things, can be done on Purim, both with Mishloach Manos and with Matanos Avyonim. And the ability to bring joy to those who need joy is unparalleled on a day like Purim. Because you can go to Mezan Shalom. You can. How many of us, we can do this all day, all year round. I was using this as an example. We have the opportunity, every single one of us, to go and drop off food and sing a song and say hello to the residents of a Mezan Shalom. How many of us think of doing that on a random Wednesday night? It doesn't happen. On Purim, you can do it. I don't need an excuse. I don't need a reason. I can just go There are many, many, many elderly folks who live in our community who you can come and drop in and say, happy Purim. With Shalach Manos, without Shalach Manos, it doesn't matter. You don't need an excuse on a day like Purim. If it's not planned out, it won't happen because the day is so crazy. But it's only Wednesday night. We have till Monday night next week. What am I going to do? And those who have children in the home with my children, what is the plan that I can create a day that I'm going to bring joy to someone else? Through the tzedakah that I give, I'm going to give. But I say this because most of the situations that we're going to give tzedakah is not going to have a direct impact where we're going to see it. You're going to give it to me, you're going to give it to some organization. We don't live in the world, the society we live in. Most of us are not going to actually have a chance to hand tzedakah to somebody who's going to smile and say, thank you. It's a reality. It'll go through me to them, but you won't have that opportunity. Even I usually give to somebody else who will do that, to actually put a smile on someone's face in that same way. But our presence can. And if the day is scheduled appropriately, with children it's even easier, with grandchildren it's easy, pick them up, we take it. There's so many places here where you can go and you could just walk the halls and wish people a happy Purim. You could sing a few songs, and on a day like Purim, it can be done. That's point number one. I'll get back to it again in a moment. On the idea of Matanos Lavyonim, the halacha is, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Ein Midaktikin. We are not particular with who asks for money. All year round, we are. Somebody asks you for money, you have every right to say, what are your credentials? Who are you? What are you collecting for? We have an obligation to be careful with our tzedakah money that it goes to an appropriate place. And therefore, when someone sticks out their hand, we have the right to say, who are you that I'm giving that? I don't want to be scammed, because if I give it to you and it's a scam, it's going taking away from somebody else who needs it. I have that right. The halach is on Purim, you're not allowed to ask. Somebody comes up to you on Purim, sticks out their hands for tzedakah, matanos avyonim, the halach is you give and you don't ask. Two things on that. Number one, I don't remember from pastors so much here if there's a lot of people going around collecting. I don't feel there's so much, but it's a great thing. You should in advance carry around whatever denomination of bills you're comfortable with, it doesn't matter. Have something on you that you should be prepared and able to do so when people come, whether it's at a Purim Seudah you're going to be at or at shul. There'll be people collecting for various things. It's a day when someone sticks out their hand to be able to have something ready. Those who have children, it's a great thing to arm children with a dollar, with some loonies. They're not going to have many opportunities, but if you're with them in shul or at the Seudah, It's the starting point of chinuch, of training. Get it prepared. This is a day where we give. We give to everybody that you see, and if they have it in their pockets, they're ready to start. That's point number one. Point number two is the commentators point out, in the same way that we give to everybody who asks and we don't ask questions, if we do that down here, they do the same thing in Shemayim. Generally, when we ask, when we daven for something, we have a need, and we say, Ribbono Shalom, this is what I need, please give me this. So they do the same thing to us up in Shemayim as we do down here. They say, who are you? Is this a real need? Are you qualified? Do you deserve it? Sometimes the answer is we do, and sometimes the answer is we don't. On Purim, if a Jew down here has his hands in his pockets, and whoever sticks out their hand says, here you go, in Shemayim, anything you ask for, they don't ask questions. It's a day of tefillah. When you take your 30 minutes to hear the Megillah, carve out an extra 10 to stay and daven for a few minutes. Whenever it is, whether you catch a Megillah that's attached to a Shacharis, or that's attached to a Mincha, or you're just catching an 11 o'clock Megillah reading, you're there in Shul. The Megillah is your Hallel. It's a day, Kol HaPoshet Yado. Anyone who sticks out your hand, no snow. We give to them. It's a day to dedicate for Tefillah. It's a defined 10 minutes at home, at shul, somewhere, over the course of the day. It's easiest right before, after Megillah reading. You're usually going to be in shul anyway. It's a day of tefillah. It's a sanctified day. It is Yom Kippur, as we started with. It has the sanctity of Yom Kippur. And a Jew who can carve out a feeling and a moment like Yom Kippur on a day like Purim, there's something to that. Yom Kippur, I don't want to say it's easy on Yom Kippur, but it's easier on Yom Kippur to daven. It's easier. What else are you doing? But on Purim, to find those 10 minutes and actually, daven, ask what you need. It's a very special time, and it's all attached to the Matanos of Yon. And one last point, and that is on Mishloach Manos. How many do you have to give? What's the halach of Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eyu? So halach is you have to give one person two foods. Two foods that have to be ready to be eaten, meaning you can't give raw chicken. For those of you who are tempted to do so, you can't. You have to give a food that is edible on the spot. It could be the same bracha. It all doesn't matter. Just two different foods that they can eat, and you fulfilled the mitzvah. Now, right, the mitzvah can be fulfilled pretty easily. This is one of the most wonderful opportunities that we have all year. Same thing like I said before. It's a break from the routine. The reality of the human being is we have concentric circles of social networks. Every human being does that. There's a certain circle that we live in. These are my really good friends. However big that circle is, everybody's got a certain circle. And then there's a larger circle of my friends that are not my really good friends, they're my friends. And then there's a circle beyond that. Those are the people whose names I know. And then there's beyond that, I don't even know their names, but I recognize their face from shul every once in a while I see them. And then there's people I have nothing to do with. I don't even know them. If that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to change that. No one can change it. That's the way that human beings function. Every year, Purim time, you know, who am I going to give my Shalach Manos to? So we naturally just go right to our immediate circle of our close friends, and that's what we're doing. And it's one that's fine. There's no reason not to do that. But don't leave it there. It is such an awesome opportunity to extend a circle, to extend a hand, to extend a greeting. And there are so many, there are people who everybody, we all know, who aren't either going to receive a lot or are homebound, where you could light up someone's life by stopping off and giving a Shalach Manos. And then the people who are doing just fine, they're just not in your circle. It's not like you're going to change. It's just an opportunity to say hello to someone that's a little bit outside the comfort zone. And this craziness of the day allows for that. That which is so hard. I could stand on the pulpit from here till tomorrow and say, be friendlier, be friendlier, be friendlier. And everyone is going to be friendlier with the people they're already friendly with. That's what happens. And the message is heard, and everybody thinks I did. You told me to be around. It's hard for us to get out of, and it's fine, it's not, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But this is a day that literally allows for that which we cannot do the rest of the year. It's so hard for us to do the rest of the year. I don't need an excuse. I could show up on somebody who's an acquaintance, a neighbor. How many of us have neighbors that we barely say hello to? Barely say hello, barely know their names. Jewish neighbors. They just either are less observant, go to a different shul, and we don't see them. Winter, for sure you never see them. In the sun, you just don't see them. So it'd be weird if on a regular Tuesday night you knocked on the door and you said, hello, I brought you cookies. It'd be weird. You're not going to do that. I know, I don't do that, you don't do that. Nobody does that. On Purim, I could do that. I could do it on Purim. I don't need an excuse. They understand. I understand. I could find, if you plan in advance, and you think, who do I want to give a shot? And this is where, again, for your children, this is the opportunity. So first of all, to make your children make their own Shalach Manos. That, for sure. They should be involved. They should do something. Make it happen. And then, have them sit through and say, like, who in your class are you going to give to? Like, say who you want to give to. Give them their list. And then take everyone on the list and say, okay, now who else? Besides who that list that you naturally came up with. Who in your class would it be appropriate? Would it be a nice thing for you to be able to give? Which one of your teachers need? Do you have a coach? Do you have a tutor? Do you have a principal? To start teaching our children to take advantage of this opportunity, to use it, to give hakaras hatov, to give thanks to those who they need to thank, to extend their own comfort level in giving to somebody. This is what it's for. The sages gave us, and it's because of the craziness of the day that we can do this. If it were a normal day, none of this would work. But because it's so crazy, the opportunity for carving out time to daven, the opportunity to carve out time to make someone smile, to what am I going to do to make the day meaningful for someone else? Whether it's through my Shalach Manos, it's the Matanos Levyonim, it's just going to visit and saying hello. That is what the day is about, and all the craziness of the day is what allows for it. So instead of the craziness, all the things we need to do, in advance, if we plan out, this is what I want the day to be like, It's still crazy, but it's a day that brings friendship. It's a day that brings smiles. It's a day that one Jew is concerned with another, and that is what the sages had in mind with giving us this day. And at the end of all that, they said, now sit down and have a feast and enjoy, and you eat well, because you spent the first couple hours of the day running around like a chicken without a head, making everybody else happy. And that really is what it's about. So we have the blessing today of many organizations, which we give money, and they send cards to them. All those things are nice, and we should support the organizations. They're wonderful, but we shouldn't lose the human-to-human, person-to-person contact of what a knock on the door, and hi, I just wanted to wish you a happy Purim, and what that does. So support the organizations is great, but also to take advantage of our opportunities to really expand our friendship one to another. And I hope that between everything that was said tonight, we are able to make Purim indeed a meaningful day, a significant day, a day like Yom Kippur for ourselves, to think about the challah that we're going to say through the reading of the Megillah, and to make it a special day for our children and giving them the opportunity to be involved, and for our community as well, and to really bring the joy and simcha of Purim to ourselves and to everybody around us. Okay, thank you for coming out, and have a wonderful Freilich Purim.